Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Nagler, and joining me, as always, is Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are both coming to you live across the street from Lambeau Field, and we are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we welcome in a very special guest, former Packers running back and current chair for the Pro Football Retired Players Association Board of Directors, Mr. Daryl Thompson. Welcome to the show.
Whoa, there we go. What is up?
Let's do it. I got my helmet.
I love it.
We're good to go. Well, Daryl, first of all, it is an absolute honor, pleasure, privilege to speak with you. We're very interested in the PFRPA. We've been helping you guys all month long with donations, raising money, etc. And I got to say, that whole driver is Corey Banky listening to you and others at a banquet. I think that was over a year ago. Big reason we're involved at all, but the driving force is Mr. Corey Banky. I know we're both like thrilled to get the opportunity to talk to you about what it is you guys are doing over there.
Well, I had a great opportunity to sit next to Corey at the banquet, and I think he got a really great taste of what the Pro Football Retired Players Association is doing. I'm honored to be a part of it. I've been the chair now for just under a year, and we were blessed enough to have the event in Green Bay, where one of the home bases of football like around the United States. So it was awesome for us to be there. And, we're just trying to do things for players that are important, taking care of your teeth, number one, taking care of your vision, number two, and then number three, trying to line up opportunities for players to put a little bit of revenue in their pocket, be it a card show or an autograph session or a commercial or whatever opportunities come our way. We try to provide players that have played in the past an opportunity to generate some revenue for themselves.
Absolutely love that. And how did you get involved? Like I said, I know Corey had spoken to you at that event, and I think he got a little bit of the backstory, but I'd love for you to tell people, because I think most Packers fans of our age remember you as the first round pick, obviously played with the Packers, but life moves on and you get past your playing career. And I think this is an opportunity for you to really tell people what the PFRPA is all about. And I think we've done probably as best we can trying to describe to people what it is you guys do. But I'm so thrilled that you're here to kind of give us the actual scoop, because I know it is not only really important work, but it's work that somewhat long overdue.
Somewhat long overdue, and also just a great opportunity for us to do something different. There was some funds that came out of the former for players that were not receiving revenue while they were playing. And it was quite a bit of money, almost $40 million. And the NFL was going to pay it out over a period of time. And they started to talk about putting together a board of directors and doing something with those funds. So with those funds that we've been receiving now for almost 6 years, they asked a handful of gentlemen to be on the board. And I'm on the board along with Jack Youngblood and Jackie Slater, Ron Nix, Dave Robinson, another former Packer. So there's and Mike Singletary, another, a lot of Hall of Fame players and great players. Mike Haynes is on the board as well. And trying to figure out what to do, and what made sense is try to do something that benefits the players. So being able to have former players get, dental care and also eye care is important. Then also the other piece is to generate revenue for players that, aren't in the limelight. A lot of times quarterbacks and receivers and, running backs, they get a lot of opportunities, and we're trying to provide opportunities for all the players. They're still quarterbacks, are always kind of the drivers and receivers, and everyone else kind of falls in line after them. But we're trying to make sure that everyone gets an opportunity to make a little bit of money and then have that opportunity, but also that they're able to do some basic things around their vision and around their oral care to take care of themselves.
I mean, that's just... It fills me almost kind of with pride that we're, helping you guys do these things, but it also kind of frustrates me because you know, we're not far past the negotiations for the new CBA between the league, the NFL, and the Players Association. Is it frustrating seeing kind of those talks play out and not have, like, the retired players, especially guys who retired, say, pre-93, not get more of a voice at the table? It feels like that's kind of been a forgotten generation, so to speak.
Yeah, it is sometimes, you know, but I think part of it's just the reality of where we are in our country and our society. So our job now is to actually do the best we can with what we have. Also recognize that, like, I don't take it for granted. I mean, Jim Brown was on this board. He was one of the founding board members, and to be able to call Jim Brown a friend, to be able to have his phone number, to listen to him and Lem Barney and some of the early, you know, to meet, I got to meet and hang out with Ray Nitschke. So those types of players that where the game was founded, you know, going all the way back to, you know, Bronco Nagurski and other people like that that played the game that really didn't get compensated the way I was compensated, the way obviously a current player is compensated. So there's a difference and a chance. And, you know, football players, historically don't live very long either. So trying to address those, hopefully in the next collective bargaining agreement, would be a top priority as well, to make sure that we are like the other leagues. You know, the NBA takes very, very good player of their players that played in the NBA and Major League Baseball as well. And football being the number one revenue sport in the world, to me makes sense that we would take care of the players that that played the game before us, so that we can take care of them and feel good about them as well.
One thing that I found interesting after Corey came back from this event, and I'm telling you, man, he was so passionate about it. And the thing that
Daryl and Dave Robinson sold me on it, by the way.
Right.
Daryl and Dave. I mean, just sitting next to Dave Robinson at any chance, I'll do whatever the man says. He's incredible. But anyway,
Well, I was just going to say one of the things that got Corey really excited was the projects that kind of were laid out. And I know you're doing some of this and hopefully building more of this in the future. One thing that got talked about that I find fascinating is the idea of helping some of these guys when it comes to the internet in general, but social media in particular, being able to harness some of that, because look, they're still part of the story of the NFL and they have great stories to tell, and hopefully maybe connecting them and showing them how social works and being able to get some of their stories out individually, because, you know, media is not going to follow those stories. They're not going to chase those stories, but these guys maybe, hopefully here going forward, can have the opportunity to build some of that themselves, to build a following, to build a platform where they can get their own stories out there.
Yeah, it's really important. It's very, very important. When you talk about Jack Youngblood and, Mike Singletary and, you know, all the players, Ron Mix, there's Mike Haynes, there are stories upon stories about playing with injury, the locker rooms, the travel, the airplanes, all of those things that that are interesting and fun, and just the pure playing. I mean, the game is still the game. The game has changed. It's evolved. It's a lot safer than it was in their era, a lot safer than it was in the era that I played in. But there's still a lot of beauty. There's a lot of stories, and there's a lot of friendships. And I think people, I don't think I know anytime that I kind of pull stories out of my head every once in a while. People are like, oh my God, you did that. And you played against Refrigerator Perry and you played against Ronnie Lott. And you played against Joe Montana. I'm like, yeah, it's just like, I played with Brett Favre, you know? So, I mean, all those pieces come together and people are curious about them. They want to hear about them. And it's a lot of fun for everyone involved, from the person that's telling the story, and it gets documented. You know, everything is, people want to know. And we'd love for them to learn and to have our story documented forever.
And that's what it's all about. And that's what we really want to help with in that regard. But you mentioned your time in Green Bay playing with Brett Favre, former first round pick. We're going to overlook the Gopher stuff. I know, Minnesota, whatever. We're not going to belabor that point. But do you have some favorite memories of playing in Green Bay? Because like I said before we went live, I'm kind of pinching myself that I'm getting to talk to you. I loved watching you play. I remember very, very specifically. I remember a 60-yard run in particular, but I'm not going to get too in the weeds. But I just know there's got to be, you know, whenever you talk to somebody who played in Green Bay, there's good memories, there's maybe some special moments. Is there anything that leaps to mind when you think about playing in Green Bay?
There's a handful of them, you know, and that's one of them. I think that 60-yard run was on a kickoff return. I was also, I did a little return duty, you know, kind of middle of late in my career. And I think it was like 35 degrees below zero. And I was like up a little bit, not the return man, but I was one of the up backs that they used to do the wedge. I was part of the wedge, and I caught it, and I still had a little bit of speed left in me. I was able to get in the end zone. So that was cool. But I think about my number one memory as a, maybe the favorite one, was when we finally beat the Detroit Lions to go to the championship game to play against the Dallas Cowboys. So it was the next level for us and for me. It was at the end of my time, unfortunately. My body was just kind of starting to fail and everything, but it was fun to be there for that. The beginning of the Brett Favre, you know, Edgar Bennett was kind of like my mentee when he was there on the team. So it was a really cool time. And also playing with Reggie White. I mean, Reggie White was, besides Sterling Sharp, probably the best football player that I ever saw play football. I mean, it was incredible. And Brett was an awesome, you know, quarterback, but Reggie was an incredible force of nature. He didn't turn the force on very much in practice unless someone really, really poked him, and it happened once or twice. But in the games, he turned it on, and it was incredible to watch him literally throw, which doesn't make sense, you know, to throw a 300-pound person that's trying to stop you. We're not talking about, like, just someone that's off balance that you're just, you know, like, surprised. This person's looking at him, and he's able to, you know, throw them and move them. So, I mean, to watch him play from the sideline in person was incredible. Just a, you know, tremendous, tremendous human being. You know, he's someone that we lost way too early.
Very, very true. Have you watched this current team very much? I mean, I don't know how much football watching you do. Some guys kind of dip out. I know you do. You got your duties with the Gophers, but have you watched the current Packers at all?
Yeah, I have. I have. I watch them not super religiously, but I do. And I love football. Football is a little bit of escape for me on the weekends. So I'm able to, you know, kind of watch games, and I care, and I still have, you know, friends, not tons of friends, obviously, in the NFL anymore, but kids, young men that I know that are playing NFL. And then I just, it's a little bit of a escape for me on the weekend. So I love to watch football.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Well,
I'm
Darryl,
excited about the current team, too. I mean, we have been, as an organization, and I get to do something with the Packers when they're here in town. I was just talking to Kathy Dvorak. She's wonderful. So I'm going to be with, I'll be with some of the leadership and Mark Murphy. And then I played for Brian Gutekunst's dad in college. So
you did Brian, not. Of course. That. Wow. That's so cool.
So Brian went to high school where my kids went to high school at, which I didn't know until like a year or two ago. I was telling my son about it. So my, when they're here, I think I'll get to introduce my son to him. He's going to come with me to the, it's like a pep rally. And they invited me to come to dinner, and I think Brian's going to be there. If he's there, it'll be cool. But I got to hang out with his dad a couple. We had a reunion, former players, and his dad was there. And I sent Brian, like, I don't know, probably 6 or 7 pictures. You know, with anytime your old coach comes in, remember, it's like, oh, hey, Goody, what's going on? You know, he was our guy, you know. So, yeah, it's just great to reconnect. And it warmed Brian's heart. You know, Brian was, he was a kid. I think he's like 6 years younger than me, which isn't much now, but it was a lot then. You know, when you're in college and someone's right, like, in seventh grade, you're like, you know, like, I care, but I don't have anything in common. Now you're growing, you got kids, you know, and everything else. So I don't talk to him a lot. I'm just an occasional, you know, text, or he sent me some stuff, I sent him some stuff, but just kind of, but he's a good man, and I respect him a great deal. And it was an honor to be able to play for his dad, and then to be connected to him now too. And it's funny that, not funny, but also really cool that he's, you know, the main guy here for the Packers, which is the organization I was blessed enough to play for.
I mean, it's 6 degrees of separation. That's crazy. I love it, though.
The small circle of the NFL. It's just like such a tight-knit circle. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, Darryl, you're an absolute legend for joining us. Everybody who is watching this and listening later on the podcast, we have links in the description of the video on our podcast platforms. You can check out all the great work that the PFRPA is doing, and you can donate anytime you're here on Cheesehead TV in the month of November. We have links in the description of this video where you can donate specifically. You don't need to super chat. You don't even need to watch the video. But if you want to help out what they're doing at the PFRPA, do it.
Do it. We've raised $100 while we've been talking to Daryl. So, Daryl, in the last 15 minutes, we raised $100. So that's pretty good.
Sounds good. I'll take it. Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for the time. Keep doing great work, and we will definitely connect down the line. Once this kind of wraps up here at the end of the year, we'll do some kind of big blowout kind of announcement of everything we've raised, and definitely want you to be part of that.
Cool. I appreciate it. We'll be doing another dinner next year. I believe this one's going to be in LA. I can't remember. It's LA or Houston. I can't remember exactly, but should be fun. Hopefully you guys can maybe either come to it or at least have some role. We appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
No question about it. Daryl Thompson, thank you so much for the time and have a great night, man.
Thank you very much. You guys take care.
There we go.
Right.
Former Packers running back, chair of the Pro Football Retired Players Association Board of Directors.
Who says we don't have Packers on our show? Come on. Come
on. We got Packers.
Only legends around here. We bring the legends.
Former first-round picks. I'm pretty sure that's the first-round pick we've ever had on the show.
I mean, the Packers haven't had a lot of first-round picks, so that worked out. So there you go.
That worked out. Some people have Jordan.
They still have problems with that.
Yeah, they're still having problems. A little bit. Well, should we get back into the show and get ready for the good, the bad, and the ugly? You ready for this, Corey? You ready? Ready to kick this off?
Yeah, let's do it. So, we got the good.
We got the good, the bad, and the ugly. Josh Jacobs.
We got the bad. We got
losing Kittle in the end zone.
We got the ugly. We got
Watson's drop. My God, man. Could have blown the doors off right there. That drop was pretty frustrating, no doubt about it. But that was the good, the bad, and the ugly. Love it. Smooth as ever.
Good job. We did it.
Good job. But, you know, we don't want to talk about ugly things, Corey. We don't. We want to talk about hot things. So let's get to the hotness.
Let's do it.
I mean, when you win 38-10, there are lots of things. There are lots of hot things that you can talk about. But I think coming out of this game, you could talk about the turnovers, what have you. No doubt big plays, both sides of the ball. But for me, it's all about the run game. And there are a million clips that you could choose. Coach Dan Casey put this up on Twitter, and I think it is absolutely perfectly apt for the hottest stuff that the Packers are doing are in the run game right now. Let's take a look at this clip because, I mean, Corey, think you're a defender. Where's the ball? Watch, like, where? And now all of a sudden there's this huge fucking hole. And oh, look at there, that's a spin move. Take it another 10 yards. I mean, this, if you're a defender, this is a nightmare. Watch Jordan on the spin there.
I've seen this play.
Like, where's
the
ball?
I think that's the 100th time I've seen this play at this point.
It's so
What's crazy
awesome.
Is this, the entire, like, almost the first five rushes are kind of all like that. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of spinner stuff, a lot of misdirection, motion. Man, you talk about hot. That is the hotness. Absolutely loving it. Now, you know, we've got to get to some Packers news, Corey. And it's interesting, on a short week, there's not a ton of Packers news, but some developments here. Isaiah McDuffie being kind of the headliner for missing practice yesterday with an ankle injury. Now, they didn't really have practice, but he was listed as a DNP as an approximation. And I know there's some concern there about his ability to go on Thursday night. Cooper and Alexander most likely will be out. Both of them still dealing with their respective injuries. And I know Coach spoke a little bit about an hour ago when we were prepping to go live, Romeo Doubs is indeed dealing with a concussion. He is in the protocol. However, he was out kind of doing, you know, the on-the-side work. So it's promising that there's maybe a potential for him to get up on Thursday, but I doubt it. I highly doubt that will be the case. But overall, you know, looking at an injury report and the kind of developments coming out of a big game like they had on Sunday, it's not too terrible. McDuffie being the biggest concern there, I got to suspect that we'll see more Hopper, the rookie linebacker, maybe in the mix, so to speak. But, you know, this point of the year, Corey, you could be doing a lot worse. You could be doing a lot worse when it comes to the injuries.
I mean, injuries and just where we are. It's a great place. We're in a really good spot right now, and hopefully we can weather this Thanksgiving game. If we can weather Thanksgiving, we get a little bit of a rest, kind of, because we get the extra 3 days, extra 2 days-ish.
Well, so they get the full week because they play again on Thursday night in Detroit, and then they get the mini bye, right? You get that 10 days
a
Thursday.
That's right. I forgot that it's Thursday.
So, that jumped up on you. That jumps. It's a weird
Thursday
little quirk
to Thursday. That's crazy.
Thursday to Thursday.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, we'll see.
That far. I've only been as far as Thanksgiving and Black Friday now, and now I'm right. Starting to think about what Saturday. So, wow. Okay. All right.
Yep. Be a fun time, but hey, at least they have a full week, right? Like a Thursday game is usually a bear because of the short week, which is what they're experiencing this week. But going into a Detroit game, I'd much rather have that game be the full week out. Like, at least we got the full 7 days.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I'm definitely worried about – I mean, if there's one thing I'm anxious about right now, it's injuries in this Thursday game just with the short – I mean, it's the shortest week of all time, right?
It's so like, hard. It's so hard. That's crazy. I mean, you know, nothing we say or do is going to change it. But, man, I hate Thursday night football. And I know people like it because it's something that's on. It's Thursday night, and there's NFL football on, and I get that. But this, when it's your team on that short stretch, man, it is brutal. It's hard, man. And, like, a lot of times the NFL, the football is somewhat subpar, although I think recently teams are having more success coming up with kind of pared-down game plans and just going out and trying to execute. And we've seen some better games. I'm not going to dismiss
that. You know what's
that.
Funny,
there's
though?
No question.
I bet there's something to this. The ratio, the NFL has the highest ratio from broadcast rights of all the other sports leagues.
Oh, yeah.
The other sports leagues get more of their revenue from ticket sales. And I wonder if the NFL got more of its revenue from ticket sales, if ticket sales would be prioritized and more consistency would be prioritized over just adding broadcast, which I know is moot at this point, but it's just an interesting point.
It is moot. No, you're spot on. Of course, I joke about it all the time. Like when people are talking about paying for tickets and going to games, I'm like, yes, pay for the right to be an extra in the NFL's television program, which is what they're
I mean, I think it's
mostly concerned about.
68% is their revenue number on broadcasting, and the other leagues are like 30
sense.
Or something. It's crazy.
And now they've only
got
17 games as opposed to 100 plus. So I like there's understandably like everything is condensed and the way they've kind of meted out those media rights, especially now that we've got the likes of Amazon and the streaming kind of revolution here trying to get those turkeys stuffed. You know, I like I said at the start, I know it's not going away. I know it's part of the firmament now. It's, you know, just accepted. But man, when it's your team, and Drew also pointed this out on the radio, and he's 100% right. Like, if we have to play this game, short week, Thanksgiving night, I'm very happy that my team is the one playing at home. Like, It's a small thing, probably. I know A.J. Dillon was kind of dismissive of it today on the radio, but, man, even as a fan, but just as guys suiting up on a short week, I don't want them getting on planes. Yeah. I don't want them dealing with hotels. Just
well, that's
have
the
it
thing.
House,
like, yeah, it would have been, yeah, especially San Francisco, right? You got to go back east, so you got a little bit of jet lag because you're going the other way when you go back home, which is the annoying part. And then it's just a waste of time. It's like you only have 72 or whatever, you know, whatever, I can't do the math, 84 hours or whatever. So you got to spend them wisely.
Very wisely. No question about it. Speaking of wise, a lot of wise decisions being made on the offensive side of the ball. Looking at the Packers offense, man, I don't think it's any mystery anymore, Corey. You know, I know the whole first part of the season, reporters in particular love to ask, like, what is your identity? What's the identity on offense? Well, I think all the mystery is done. Josh Jacobs is the identity. And that's not to take away from Jordan Love, the passing game, any of the receivers. But Josh Jacobs is your identity. And that's certainly been the case the last 2 weeks. Coming out of the bye week, it's great that Jordan's healthy. But it's very clear that this team runs through, no pun intended, Josh Jacobs. No question.
I mean, you know what? You're going to be surprised at this, considering the day I had. But I actually brought – here we go.
Look at him. Look at that cut.
Nice.
Are you kidding me? Look at him go.
I actually brought some stats.
Serious bet.
I brought some
stats
for this.
What? Stats? To Packer transplants? Oh, Corey's getting in the mode. Corey's zeroing in, people.
Did you know? I don't know if you knew this, but did you know that the Packers are fourth in rushing yards? Talk about identity.
I did not
fourth
know that.
In the NFL.
I did not know that.
Did you know? So yeah, and that's above the Lions. That's above the Lions, by the way. Anybody talking shit about the Lions? Get the fuck out of this chat. And we're tied. Another little interesting chat is we're tied for third with 4.8 yards per carry, which last time I checked was winning.
Pretty damn good.
4.8.
Yeah, that's winning. Every time and you run it, you're getting 4.8, almost 5 yards. That's a win.
We're tied for fifth in runs of 20 plus. So, I mean, we are a top five rushing attack in the NFL, and the stats back it up. So, you know, you're welcome.
Corey, how many years have I been sitting here yelling, run the damn ball? It's finally here. I absolutely love it. You know, I'm gonna
celebrate
that.
To run the ball when you have somebody like Josh Jacobs. So, there you go.
That's very true. I mean, very true. I'll drink to that.
It's kind of easy at that point. You don't even have to like force it. So it's kind of a no-brainer.
Well, that clip we just showed, between the two clips we've shown tonight, whether it was the first initial kind of spinner move thing, or that clip where he's literally juking guys and jump cutting. I mean, they're doing work up front, but when he's out in the field, like obviously down in Chicago, we loved him telling that defensive back, come and get it. But, man, he's making people miss. The spin move is on point. He is barreling through guys when he has to. The yards after contact is legit. And he doesn't have to come off the field. Like, every once in a while, yeah, he asks for a blow. But for the most part, he's getting the 20-plus carries. It's crazy. I'm loving it. I am absolutely loving it. One thing that is going to have to happen, though, when you're talking about the passing game, it's going to have to get a little bit more in sync. And it's going to be interesting to see how they're able to do that, one, in the cold, because it is going to be cold Thursday night, and then two, without Romeo Doubs, who has been pretty dependable. I know he had a bad drop against the 49ers, but he was certainly a third-down merchant against the 49ers the other day and was, you know, a big part of sustaining drives and moving the sticks and helping them matriculate the ball down the field and score touchdowns, you know? So now some of this depth is going to have to step up. You know, you talk about Bo Melton, who we did see have an end around.
We did see,
or Malik Heath.
Yep.
Yeah, we saw Malik Heath on that touchdown
catch.
Malik
Heath as well.
Yep. These are the guys. I love Malik Heath.
I mean, here's
the thing.
Okay. I'm in the –
here we go. Look at Malik Heath. Come on now. Look at this. Late hands. Get off me. Touchdown.
Nice.
Going to need it.
I didn't see that angle before.
Going to need it.
Nice. I mean, let's talk about the weather for a second. It's supposed to be a high of 32 and a low of 19 on Thursday. So, you know, it's not going to be that cold. That's zero, basically.
So we're going to broadcast from outside, is what you're telling me? So that's how we're rolling?
No. is that what dictates if it's cold or not? Is that what?
I don't know. I'm just asking.
If
it's going to be so warm, you know, so nice, you know. I mean,
I didn't
it's
say
like
it was warm.
Well
I said it wasn't. I didn't say it was warm. I said it wasn't cold. That's all.
I think there were people last
Sunday that were like, "It's cold," and it was 40. It was like 50 degrees. I think
last Sunday
it was like
not
40
cold.
Something degrees.
Not cold at all. No.
There were a lot of people thought
cold
whatsoever. So yeah.
Yeah, well, they should come Thursday night because that will be legit the first real cold game of the year, no doubt about it.
It definitely will be the first cold-ish game of the season. It'll be cold adjacent. Yeah, let's
cold
it'll
adjacent.
Be in the conversation.
There you go. I like that.
Cold games.
Yeah, I like it. Hey, but you know who's going to do work in that cold adjacent game is the offensive line. This group is special, Corey. It's crazy to me how the way they have gelled, and it's not – how you expected. I mean, I think obviously they're good in pass protection, right? Like we've seen that week after week. They're a very good pass protecting line. But I expected that. I did not expect them to be taking guys' souls in some of this duo, some of the power stuff that they're running. Man, that was completely unexpected. I mean, this has been a zone running team for a very long time, certainly since Matt's been in town, but even going back to when McCarthy was here, it's been almost exclusively built on the zone running game. They have gotten away from that in a big way, and this line is a big reason they've been able to run so much power with Jacobs, and you've seen the results. I mean, this is a group that is getting off the ball, able to block it up, and I'm not seeing like big like road graders, but I'm seeing guys who are technically sound, really athletic, and do a phenomenal job with what they're being asked to do.
I mean, there's a play with Zach Tom where he holds the guy up, and he's like up during a run for like 6 seconds. It's crazy. And he's just like,
right. Yep.
It's like it's nothing. You know, I'm going to do a little transition here. You're going to like this. So I don't know if you knew this, but I'm going to bring some more stats. I thought we were going to talk about Jordan Love, so I have some Jordan Love stats. I'm going to transition into the Jordan Love stats from the offensive line.
Let's do it.
I'm going to do this. So did you know that the offensive line and the quarterback have only been sacked 10 times? That's the 36th, which, you know, it's based on quarterbacks getting sacked. So Jordan Love has been sacked more times, less times than some people's quarterback.
Right.
Yeah,
that's kind of
crazy. How crazy is that?
That's kind of insane. That's kind of nuts.
And that, you know, that going into, like, I was perusing Jordan Love's stats, so now that I transitioned that way into Jordan Love.
Right, we're on Jordan Love's
and
stats.
What's kind of fascinating, the thing that's fascinating about Jordan Love's stats this midway in the season is the one thing that kind of stuck out with me is he's seventh in touchdowns in the NFL. Okay, so that one is like, wow, that's great, right? Top 10. Second in interceptions. Mm-hmm. So, you know, little Brett Favre action going on here as we've discussed season. Seventh and second. Mm-hmm. Although I'm kind of living by that. I'm okay. Like, I'm kind of okay with that. You know what I mean? And then
absolutely.
The other thing that stuck out at me was we're fourth in completions over 40 plus, which I thought we'd be pretty high, but fourth. So, you know, these things are just pointing more towards upside. You know, there's a lot of room to grow. We're 23rd in first downs, 31st in first down percentage. You know, we got a lot of places to grow. We're like 26th in some things, you know, just inside of that. So there's room to grow, right. But there's a lot of, I mean, we're above green shoots. There are like high highs, and then there's kind of like lowish things, you know? So I don't know. I'm feeling bullish.
It's interesting to see this offense continue to kind of evolve from where it was early in the season. And obviously we know dealing with Jordan Love's injuries, having Malik Willis come in. We've heard so much about, you know, why don't they run some of the Malik stuff when Jordan's in there? Bill Schmidt pointed something out today on the radio that I thought was so smart. He was like, you remember, Jordan Love wasn't practicing. Like, even when he was coming back and playing, he wasn't practicing for most of these weeks, and he hasn't really been a full participant until, I believe, like a week or two before the bye week. And then coming out of the bye week is when we really saw them start leading into a lot of the running types that they were utilizing with Malik Willis. You saw that video at the start of the show when we were talking about the run game. Man, that's timing. That's practice. And now that Jordan's practicing in full, they're able to utilize some of that stuff. So I'm excited to see what the next step is, because I do think, to your point, Corey, they're pushing the ball downfield. They're able to connect downfield. I think they're ready to take it to even a higher level with play action off of some of this power run, spinner, sleight of hand, where's the football? You get guys stepping the wrong way. You get guys thinking somebody's, you know, going out wide, or even Josh Jacobs taking it up the middle. Now we're going to see a play action off of that, like a true play action. Probably to someone like Tucker Kraft, or maybe even a Christian Watson on a post or something along those lines. I think that's the next step. Yep. Maybe we see it Thursday night, but I think the way they've been able to run the ball the last 2 weeks, it just makes all the sense in the world for them to work off of that and start utilizing some play action stuff, because they haven't really spread it around and thrown it around the way, you know, we've kind of gotten used to under LaFleur. It's been much more like take what's there, hit the checkdowns. Yeah, we're calling some deep stuff, but if it's not there, Jordan's done a really good job these last 2 weeks of okay, play within the offense, take the check down, live to, you know, play another play. And even then, he had two balls in this game that were interceptable, and his guys did a really nice job of playing defense. But for the most part, that's what I'm excited about. Like, they have been working so well in this style, in this mode, in the rush game. I think Jordan's about to really get the benefits of that, like reap those benefits as far as teams having to try and take away what they're doing in the run game and opening things up downfield and for the passing game. That's what's next.
Talk about defense?
You want to talk about the defense? We talk about, man, this was the hater bowl. All the people that, all the players that people love to hate.
You're just,
they all
based,
said,
oh,
yo,
the
we read,
bowl. I was
we
like,
read
you're
the
just
tweets.
Basing that off the chat, though. You read the chat too much. You read the chat too much.
Oh, I read the tweets. The tweets, sir. You can't get done with the Packers game without all the film nerds and all the wannabe GMs talking about this guy's terrible, this guy, why did we pick this guy in the draft, et cetera, et cetera. Well, they all had something to say. Quay Walker, his time to shine, man. Great game from Quay.
See, I understand the LVN. Aside. I understand the LVN hate. I don't understand the Quay Walker hate. I never have. I just never have. He's young. He's been very aggressive. Yeah, he's been in and out. He's got a new defense. He's one of these guys that he finally puts a game together like this, and it's kind of what you were – I don't know. I was expecting the game that he put together this last weekend to come at some point in this defense, because it happened to him last year as well, where he kind of got his head around the defense and then he had injury. So I don't know.
Right.
I don't understand. I don't understand the Quay Walker hate. I just don't. Don't get it.
Well, it's because of where he was picked, Corey. It's the draft industrial complex that permeates and rots people's brains, where if you were selected here and if you're not playing instantly up to an insanely high standard, you're a bust, or you're terrible, or you're miscast. And I do think, we've talked about it, I think he is playing out of position, but he played really well against the 49ers, like extremely well. And I hope this is a start of something rather than an aberration, right? Like, I hope he finds some consistency, because that's the other thing. You can certainly cut up and look at, and people have, all the bad plays, because there are plenty of them to talk about, you know? But you can also look at good stuff. There's certainly been good tape, and it's like, finally, there was a game where he did it consistently. And that's what I'm hoping that this is, a springboard for him to find some consistency, to your point, in this defense, in this role that he's been asked to play as a full-time middle linebacker when he really should be playing on the weak side. But I loved what we saw. Hopefully we see more of it. And then your other boy you talked about, Lucas Van Ness, he had his moment. He has his moment there. Yeah. Big sack fumble. Absolutely love to see it. The way he threw McCaffrey off of him like a rag doll. So great to see. I will say, though, it was kind of funny that it came after earlier in the game when he lined up offsides and got yelled at by his coaches. Like,
Maybe he's that kind of player. Maybe he's that kind of player. He just needs someone to like scream at him for like a good, like solid, you know, maybe he's like, you know, a masochist. You never know.
That's possible. I mean, that's kind of how I work with you. You know, I just, you know, wait for you to yell at me and then I kick into gear. That's how we roll here at Cheesehead TV. So I get it. I feel it.
Okay. Got it. So you're saying you identify. Well, I have
identify.
Some,
most certainly.
Speaking of identifying,
you got some defensive stats?
I do. I have one defensive stat for you.
All right.
One.
Lay it on me.
So, and I know this is going to get us right into our transition. So, the reality of this defense is top 10-ish.
Top 10-ish. All right.
So, you look at attempts, you look at completions,
that's
you
the
look
stat?
At like... Yeah, it's a stat. Because you look at all these things, right? And I would count. I would be like, oh, where are we at in this? Instead of being like, oh, we're 9th, we're 11th, we're 12th, we're 7th, we're... You know what I'm saying? Of so many stats, we're top 10-ish. We're not top 15-ish, which we've... You know, in previous times, we've been that way.
Kind of lived
but
at,
it's
right?
interesting.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of room to grow and to go backwards. But the run defense, especially as we've seen, I think is probably like the biggest force for good that the Packers have displayed in the last few weeks.
Yeah, you liked their ability to at least limit what the 49ers were trying to do on the ground. I contend that the 49ers kind of got, I don't know, like Kyle Shanahan didn't seem interested in establishing or even trying to, you know, utilize the run game, which they almost always have kind of been about. But with a backup quarterback, he came out trying to throw it, and then he got down 17-0, and then the run game was done. And it's not for anything, I don't think, that the Packers did specifically well. You still saw McCaffrey on the left side off an I formation, just like Swift did the week before. Clearly, the 49ers saw the tape and said, okay, let's try this. And it worked. And you saw Mason come in and promptly, you know, right up the gut, about a 10-yard gain. Like, there were plays for them to be had. They just didn't stick with it. So, as great as it is to watch the Packers win 38-10, and I love that they did pretty much limit McCaffrey, I don't know how real that is. You know what I mean? I don't know how much of that was the Packers' defense as opposed to circumstance and game script, because game was getting away from the 49ers, and Shanahan felt the need to put it in the air.
I'm fine with that. That's situational football. So if we're winning defense with situational football, and, you know, I guess for me, that's why the stats – to me, where the stats matter for defense is – I feel like you got to be within the top 15 to really make it to the playoffs and do something in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And then the sky's the limit. You know what I mean? Especially if you can get those turnovers, which we have been able to get the turnovers, but there's a lot of room to grow there too as well. It's not like we're overwhelmingly turnover team. So that's kind of exciting, is that we're average top 10-ish. You know what I mean? And that's good, actually. Like
with room to
this
grow.
For this defense on where we should be, I think that's really good, actually. It's not what people feel in their heart. I know that. They feel that this defense is trash. And that's why I'm bringing it up.
Oh, it depends when you ask them, right? Like, it depends what's just happened or what's just occurred. And to your point, and this is why I did put this in there, Halfley's working with what he's got, right? And, Corey, this is my pledge to you. I guarantee you, I promise, I swear on all that I consider holy, on Thursday night, I will not one time bitch about Halfley's approach, because I am pretty sure we're going to see something similar to what we saw against the 49ers, as far as not very aggressive, not a lot of guys in the box. We're going to keep it all kind of cover two, cover three, cover four, lots of safeties out, trying to make sure that Hill, Waddle, etc., don't go ham. And I know it will be frustrating in the moment, but this approach is appropriate when you don't have a Jaire Alexander. You're facing these insanely talented wide receivers. It's hard for me in the moment to remember that. So I am making my pledge right now. I will remember, and I will not freak out.
No, you won't.
That's my promise to you.
Just letting you know.
I know, and that's why
I'm
going to prove you wrong.
And every,
I'm going to show you it.
You won't. You won't. You won't. You won't. It's so okay. I love you, but you're not going to do it. I just know you. You're just not going to do it. So if we start doing bad, it's fucking over. Any promises? And you'll even say it in the moment. Like, remember when you said that? And then you'll be like, shit about that.
It's only funny because it's true.
Guaranteed. Yeah. I mean, you know, hey, if we got situational football and we do what we did to the San Francisco 49ers, I believe you.
Yeah.
I believe you. But it's situational. Yeah. That's the thing. It's situational.
Right. Yes, it is. You're correct. You're correct. I'm not going to lie. You are absolutely correct. You know me so well. You know me so well. Hey, real quick,
are you doing any good with Prize Picks, by the way? I wanted to know. Are you doing any
good?
Yeah,
man. I'm killing it. My Packers one was awesome. My Packers one was across the board awesome. My Monday Nighter, not so good. Not so good. But, you know, it's Monday Night Football. Come on. The Ravens kind of ruined a lot of my picks last night. But Prize Picks is daily fantasy sports made easy. You just select two or more players, pick more or less on their projected stats, and place your entry. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and an enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. Go to prizepicks.com, use code CHTV, spend $5 on lineups, and get $50 instantly. Prize Picks is available in 43 different states, most importantly, including Wisconsin. Got to get you on Prize Picks there, Corey. Got to get you making picks. Get some lineups going.
Yeah, I'm kind of a purist. I don't do anything. The problem is I'll either lose money or be really well at it because I'll only pick Packers. And if they're not Packers, I don't care. And then, I'll pick against Bears. I won't pick Vikings.
You have to do two different teams, right? So you just pick all your Packers to do well.
I already can't do it. I already can't do it.
And with the Dolphins, you just pick. They're all going to do less than their projection.
Here's the crazy thing. I know this. I'm well aware of the reality of this, but in my mind, there aren't really 31 other teams, if that makes sense.
I get it. You know what I mean? Totally understand. Yep. 1,000%.
I just need, speaking of the Dolphins, those teams out of my mind.
Speaking of the Dolphins, coming to that building right behind me, Lambeau Field, on Thursday night, the Packers have opened as 3-point favorites, Corey. Remember what we talked about? You get 3 points for being at home. So, essentially, Vegas is looking at this like a push.
I don't understand why. What am I missing about the Dolphins being so good? Is this like an upswing this year? I don't know. Missing something?
No, not even this year. This last month, they have played extremely well. Now, the caveat is
it's a month.
The one really good
month.
Team
okay,
they
cool.
Yeah, the one really good team they faced since Tua came back, because that's the other component. They got their quarterback back. They played the Bills down to the wire. Now, they still lost, but they played well. And then coming out of that, they have gone on a bit of a tear here. Now, they're coming off a big victory over the Patriots, who are terrible.
And wasn't one of them the Jets, too? Yeah, didn't they do the Jets, too? Yeah,
so it's like they're not beating up. They're kind of beating up on the Sisters of the Poor of the NFL. However, they have played well. So, they beat the Rams, in L.A., just like we did. And they did it, completely. I mean, taken apart. The Rams couldn't buy a touchdown that night. It was almost all field goals. They fell apart in the red zone repeatedly, mostly because of their defensive line, and it's specifically because of their defensive tackles. So we'll see, man. It's gonna be fascinating to see how the Packers are able to move the ball on this defense.
This was funny to me, Corey. God, what's funny?
This is only the seventh time that these two teams have played at Lambeau Field. And I know they're not in the same conference, division, et cetera. So, I understand they don't play to each other a lot. But, man, these are two really historic franchises. I mean, the Dolphins are famous for having the perfect season, right? They have been around a long time. Don Shula won a boatload of games down there. But they've only played 7 times at Lambeau Field. That feels low to me.
It does feel low, but the other thing is, has there ever been a Florida team that's not fraudulent in the cold?
Probably not, man. Tua led Dolphins teams are 0-7 in games played in 40 degrees or less. 0-7, Corey. The most recent, of course, being that playoff game in Kansas City, where I think there's some fans that sued the NFL because they got frostbite or whatever. But man, that was a cool game, and they did not look like they wanted anything to do with it. Yeah. So, and I know, it's in their head. It's 100% in their head because Tua, after the win against the Patriots, immediately asked, what do you feel about going to play in the cold in Green Bay? And he said, I'm looking forward to killing narratives. So he knows the narrative that he falls apart in cold weather. So it's in his head.
I know, but I can't get it between my brain how this is going to work. If the Packers rushing attack, remember, I don't know if you guys remember, but we're 4th in rushing yards in the NFL. If we were to rush like we have been the last, two months or so, what is Miami going to do? It's cold and you keep getting hit and it's 0 degrees and then it freezes and your body doesn't it anymore. Like third quarter, Josh Jacobs is just going to be like insanity.
Jacobs actually mentioned that. He kind of alluded to the idea of relishing it being even colder and getting to late in the second half when dudes are going to be making some business decisions. You know, it's cold. I do not want to tackle this guy.
Like, every hit by the running back is an investment in pain that continues for the next 2.5 hours. Right?
Correct.
So it's like, it's kind of like, you know how you can, if you keep somebody's defense on the field, they're all worked up and they're big fat guys, you know, they're not fat, but they're big ass dudes and like they get wore out, right? You're wearing them out. Yep. You wear out the defense. In the same way, like, and when it's cold, that's how you wear out a defense. You just, pain becomes like, what is your pain quotient? What is your pain, you know, limit?
Oh, and you see it too. Oh, you see it in these games, second half of cold games, whether it's in Buffalo or Cincinnati or the Browns or whatever. Like, in the second half, you see guys start to, like, just lose the interest. Like, no, man, no, I'm done. Like, especially if you're losing and you're getting run over, like, it's just like you're making like business decisions. I'm done getting completely walloped for a cause of maybe we'll keep it within 2 touchdowns. Like, that happens. And I am very much looking forward to Josh Jacobs in the cold. Like, yes, please. Give me lots of that. You can get more of a preview on this matchup in the Cheesehead TV newsletter. Andy Herman and I just recorded it this afternoon. It'll be in this week's newsletter. Goes out Thursday morning, game day morning. Make sure you subscribe, Cheesehead TV Nation, in your inbox twice a week during the season. Tons of Packers goodness, content from Cheesehead TV, tons of different stuff. Do it, people. The link to sign up is in the description of this video here on YouTube. All right, let's get to it.
Let's do it.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right. This week in the Packer Blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. And Corey, oftentimes during this segment, we turn our lens towards other people making content around the internet regarding the Green Bay Packers. However, this week, we're tooting our own horn a little bit because we are coming off a pretty phenomenal weekend. You know, I come into town once a year for this stuff, and it is so cool. It is so great to really see and meet Packers fans from literally all over the world. We had a couple of events on Saturday. The first one, Corey, this was awesome. A beer tasting, Carry the G tasting at Ridgeview Liquor down the street here, Ridge Road. Man, I'll tell you what, really felt like there was an uptick. Like, last year was good. It was a good start, right? It felt like this year there was a noticeable uptick in traffic.
We sold a lot of cases. That little stack you see, that was pretty much gone. There was like six left, I think, six cases. And I agree with you. We next year we need to get a little ahead on it, I think, and make sure it's part of our, because it's a fun little thing for people to be able to try the beer, come out, say hi. But we had a good crowd. A lot of you on the chat came out, and we appreciate everybody coming out. And I think that, you know, if we get a little bit more notice, we can have more people and come out and hang out with us. But yeah,
I love that woman you saw with her bags. There's Jerry. Lots of Patreon members who stopped by. I love the woman who came literally off the plane, tweeted at Tyler or messaged us on Instagram. It was like, I'm just getting off the plane. Don't leave. And she legit showed up with her bags to get some Carry the G. Absolutely love that.
I mean, pretty much for if 100 people came in there she is. Yeah. If 100 people came in there, I feel like only like two or three people didn't buy Carry the G. So that's a win. That's a 2-hour experience. There's a case. There's Ian buying a case.
Yeah. Ian buying a case.
I like it.
Love to see it. I mean, it was just so cool. And a bunch of guys came in, and a couple came in from the UK tour. There's a UK group, 70 strong, who is here all week.
Oh, yeah. That was awesome.
Much like myself for both games. But they came out in force, and they bought a bunch of Carry the G. I was really happy about that. It was so cool to see.
Yeah, it was nice. Sweet.
And then the other event that we had was our annual meetup for Patreon members, Carry the G Club members, inside Lambeau Field. Back inside Lambeau Field, Corey.
Lambeezy, so neasy.
It was cool,
here
man.
We go.
This was so special. I mean, it's just so special to see how kind of connected all these folks are through Cheesehead TV.
Cheesehead TV. I mean, look, we had a little patio outside.
Yeah, it was so cool.
That was nice. I liked that. That was fun. Get to talk to everybody.
What's funny is that
hang out.
A couple years, when we first started this, like 4 years ago or whatever, we had the same room, but I don't think anybody went outside. I don't think we even knew we were allowed to. But like this year, we all kind of hung out.
That checks out.
Times. It was fun. Yeah, I mean, that's typical for us, right? But people look, man, all these folks coming out.
Cheesehead TV. Oh, that's
Cheesehead TV gear. Yeah. No, right?
Yep.
We had giveaways.
Charlene did not take her football, so Charlene.
She literally emailed me today in the midst of my craziness asking, I forgot my football.
Yeah, I got it. Don't worry. I grabbed it. You know that guy wore that Cheesehead TV for a while because it's all like, it's a little bit faded.
Broken up.
A new shirt.
We got Andrew. We got people who work at the pro shop wearing our gear.
Jeff.
Love it. Steve. Steve is a Patreon member who.
Steve.
Both Brazil and London's meetups.
Absolutely. So he got a helmet.
That's so cool.
Wow, Charlene got in a picture. I can't imagine it.
I know. It's kind of crazy that Charlene was there. What?
Oh, there we are. There's the group shot. You got to turn your head.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
good stuff. So good to see everybody. That was amazing, man. It's always kind of fascinating to me. Just this different stories, different groups of people that show up and talk about, like, not just like their love for the Packers, but how much they love connecting to other people who love the Packers. Like, that's what Cheesehead TV wants to be. That's what we're 100% all about. And to hear from you guys, it's incredible.
Well, I kind of heard it. I believe John said it on the, Ken, I think, said it on the happy hour last night, where on the Patreon happy hour, where it was like, you know, it's fun to hang out with people. You know, you know you're already hanging out with Packers fans, but it's like you have all these things that you know you already like about each other. So, you know, you've got a built-in kind of like vibe, category, vertical, what you will, that you know you already like, that you can talk about. And so, yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
And people
good
have
stuff.
Formed
Loving
really,
it.
Really strong friendships throughout kind of the existence of Patreon, Care of the G Club. It's kind of great to watch. We've got people like meeting up before games and, you know, doing so through the Cheesehead TV Patreon page. Like, I just love it. Speaking of people, we want to hear from you. What's in the chat? What's going down, Corey? What do we got? We got some super chats talking about raising money for the PFRPA through every one of these super chats. What do we got?
Ed, I've always kind of liked the Dolphins, and I like Tua, but I'd really like the Dolphins to have their asses kicked this Thursday. I like that. That's a good,
sensible enough
super chat. Ryan Willie, $50 donation for the retired players. Appreciate that, Ryan.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you. He did that.
Appreciate you, buddy.
During Daryl's interview, so thank you. Klaus Skite. Daryl, another $50 donation. Daryl is a phenomenal ambassador for the retired players. Thank you. Go Pack Go. I could not agree with you more. The guy is legit.
Agree.
He is great, great dude. Jerry, what's up, Jerry? And Jerry made the photo. So Jerry made it into the highlight. My first game at Lambeau was amazing. The meetup in the skybox was awesome. And finally tasting Carry the G was a delicious topper for me and my son, Jack. Greenheart emoji. Thank you, Jerry. Thanks for supporting Cheesehead TV. Appreciate that. Andrew, who is also in the highlight, for the retired players. Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate the donation.
Andrew.
I cannot wait to make our announcement at the end of the month on how much we raised and how much we're going to add to that final number. Joe Mailman, turducken leg for Jordan Love Thursday night? Question mark.
Let's
I
go.
Hope so.
Let's
At least
go.
A turkey
what I,
leg.
What I really want. What I really want.
Turkey leg.
Turkey leg for Jordan and Josh Jacobs, because that means they had phenomenal games, and we can recreate the Favre and Amon Green photo from back in the day of the two of them diving into some turkey legs. That's what I want.
There you go. Jerome Chop, thanks for Super Chat. I wanted to say thanks to Most Hated Minnesotan for gifting me a Cheesehead TV sub during the San Francisco watch party. I didn't notice it live. Happy Thanksgiving to all. Yeah. Shout out. I think he gave 10 Carry the G memberships away.
10 away, yes. Sweet. Man, he was at the meetup, too. That cat is so awesome. He is such a diehard. Love it every time he joins us. Good people. Definitely good people.
Mike Witt. Did you guys ever solve the controversy about whether or not Legacy Hotel has a rooftop bar? Here's $5, Chuck Cecil and his broken nose, LOL. Yeah, we did. You know,
we did. It does indeed have a rooftop bar.
Both Nagler and I have this thing. I think it's a Gen X thing. I'm going to blame it on Gen X. But both he and I have this, like, we have a block in our brain where once we've decided something is the thing, it literally takes multiple moments to dig out the thing and then put it into our memory. So, yeah, that was we figured it out, though. Charlene, yep. Banky, come on. It's not cold. Broadcast outside. Charlene. Nobody wants that. I know, except you.
And let's go, Charlene.
Here's the only reason Charlene wants that is because she wants to see me in pain so she can make fun of me on the chat. I understand. I get it. I'm here for you,
exactly.
Charlene. Crash V1, it was great meeting you guys and all the other cheeseheads at the meetup this weekend. Thanks for an awesome night. Grab some Carry the G for my trek back east, too. Can't wait to crack it. Go, Pack, go. Thank you, Crash.
Go, Pack. Thanks, Crash.
Appreciate it. Charlene, broadcast outside, and I will watch the whole game from the south roof deck. Come on now. Charlene, no. No, nobody wants this. Okay.
Here, I'm starting
I'll broadcast
to want
outside
it. I'm starting to want it.
No, you don't. No, you don't. No. You know how much of a pain in the ass that's going to be for me?
I do. That's why it'd be amazing.
No, I want to be – I'm going to be sitting right here. I'm going to be like this. You're going to be right to my right.
Yes, you will.
And we're
going
to have the fireworks because we found the new really cool fireworks cam that we love.
I got to say, dude.
We're going to see
– dude, how did it take us? Like,
yeah,
how long have we been doing this? How long did it take us to think, oh, we should have Lambeau Field on camera when the fireworks happen? Like, amazing.
Yeah, well, we have to have us, too. And I should have designed something better, but I didn't. So we're going to have the same thing.
It's
Mimsy,
so good,
thanks for Super Chat. Let's go back to the Watson Deep Well on Thursday. It's going to happen.
I very much agree. Let's do it.
Porkmaster, does Love wear sleeves on Thursday? That's a good question.
Yes. Yes. I guess yes. What do you think, Corey?
I don't know. Porkmaster, I'm going to say no. Porkmaster, based off players responding well to negativity, Eric Stokes couldn't cover a hungover Matt Ramage. Now we wait and see a pick six on Thursday.
I like
you're
going
to have to be negative
Porkmaster.
In the chat. You're going to have to be negative in the chat. That's how it works. Mike Witt,
yep.
Top three Thanksgiving dishes, guys. Mine are deviled eggs, turkey, and stuffing. Malik Heath breakout game Thursday. CB is our number one need next offseason.
Wow, he got his money's worth for that
CB
super
is,
chat.
Honestly, I feel like CB is always in our top three just because of the nature of the position. And
the position
has
health,
to be.
And you got to throw so many out there. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. That's why I said it was a priority last offseason, even though they didn't seem
and
to agree.
And unfortunately,
yes,
yeah.
Agreed.
Malik Heath breakout game, yeah, I'm here for it. And my three favorite
I'm totally down with that.
Thanksgiving dishes are, I would say, turkey, mashed potatoes, and gravy all together.
Yeah, I love me some turkey. I love me some mashed potatoes. I love stuffing. The problem is my mom made the best stuffing in the entire world. Some old school German recipe with sausage kind of in like sliced up in it. It was thebomb.com. And now she's no longer with us. I'm like kind of, I'm very suspect. Like I'm very disdainful of any other attempt at stuffing. But stuffing as a concept, I love it. So give me turkey stuffing, and I'm with you. Mashed potatoes are the best.
John Faust, a final thank you for making my first visit to Lambeau and a big win versus the 49ers. So incredible. The Cheesehead TV community is amazing. Corey and Aaron, you have everything to be proud of. Go Pack. Thank you, John.
John,
appreciate
it was great to
it.
Meet you, man. Thanks so much for coming out. Really appreciate it, man.
Alex Kinsel, I finally got some Carry the G, and I loved it. I like it.
I love it. All
Charlene.
Caps. Look at this. I love it. Thanks, Alex.
Charlene, 10 cases already on it. 10 cases to the Philippines.
What?
Holy shnikes.
She wants to make sure she's got some left for the draft. I get it. I see you,
I
Charlene.
Wonder where she bought that.
I get it.
Where did she buy that? Did she buy it at – we have to look at the chart. Somebody.
Well, she wasn't at the tasting, so I don't think she got it at Ridge.
I bet she got it at Hy-Vee or Woodman's. Jerry, so cool to talk to Wes Hott at the meetup. He was so gracious and said Love would have zero interceptions. Also, great to meet you two and buy your beer. Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate the support.
Thanks, Jerry. Yes, Jordan Love, Mike zero Witt. Interceptions.
Yeah, exactly. Mike Witt, you have to choose one, Corey. Who would you rather have on Transplants as a guest, Bill Michaels or Peter Bukowski? I would rather have. I will never have either. So,
answer the question, Banky.
If someone paid me $100,000 to have one of them, I'd rather have Peter Bukowski. Let's just be real, okay? Mike Witt.
Sounds good.
Oh, that's the one I did. I'm doing one of Brandy's. Brandy Lewis. We got fireworks. My cat hates that, but I put up with his BS all week.
We do need we have fireworks t-shirt. That needs to happen. We need to talk to Brent about that.
Jerry, it was so fun sitting in Lambeau Sunday, seeing fireworks and then hearing Corey's voice in my head. We have fireworks. Yeah, see? It was fun to see the, for us, it actually was fun. Cause we could see him live. I could see him on the call
out the window and then on the screen.
It was like three times. So it's like boop, boop, boop. Yep. And you're like, oh yeah, let's go. We have fireworks. It's fun. I like it.
So great.
That's all we got.
Is that what we got?
Thank you everybody for donating to the Pro Football Retired Players Association. We will be giving away this, and I think we'll do some giveaways maybe on Thursday once I figure out how the heck to do it. But we've got some fun things to give away for Super Chats. Oh, look at we got Amy Gooding. Amy, where you been my life? All my life. Food, beer, and Packers football, my favorite Thanksgiving dishes. Happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for all you do. Thank you, Amy. Appreciate the support.
Thank you, Amy.
As always. Thanks so much. Really appreciate you.
Shout out to all our Patreon members. Even if you couldn't make it to the meetup, I know you guys are out there supporting, and you are absolutely the lifeblood of everything we do here at Cheesehead TV. Really cannot thank you guys enough. Along with Carry the G Club members here on YouTube, making every watch party a lot of fun, much more so than I'd be, hanging out, watching myself and being like, what a defense. Rah, rah, rah. You guys keep it fun. Thank you so much. Corey, you got anything else before we head out into the evening?
Let's get ready for Thanksgiving, people. Let's do this. It's going to be fun. It's going
to
be fun.
That'll do it for this episode of Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who makes Cheesehead TV part of their daily Packers routine. We are and will always be devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
I think it's a fluid situation, and we're I know you guys love it, especially Nagler. I can see you smirking at me right there. We're going to take it one day at a time, and... And just, it's going to be fluid, though. That's all I can tell you.